That's it, Father. Okay, let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we welcome you into our midst because you are our Lord and our God, and this is your church. We are becoming your disciples, or we are your disciples, and either way, Lord, we welcome you into our presence now. You promised that whatever two or more were gathered in your name, that you would be with them. Momentarily we stop and pause, realizing the fulfillment of that promise as we do gather in your name. Lord, open our hearts, our minds, especially give us grace to delete the thoughts and the ways of the world and to learn about your ways. And turning to our Blessed Mother for her maternal care and watchfulness over us, let us pray together the words of the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of the classics of Catholic preaching, especially during Lent, is to preach on what we call the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. The study of the last things is known as eschatology, and that study includes the triumphant second coming of Jesus at the end of time. That's not specifically part of our talk tonight. Only death, judgment, heaven, and hell. In the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment. Now, when it comes to the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell, we have sufficient revelation. Remember, we discussed revealed truth, how Catholics believe in revealed truth. We have sufficient revelation to know all that we need to know, but not enough revelation to go into details. So a lot of the questions that you might ask tonight, you should be happy and rejoicing to know that I will say, I don't know. Because if I did, at best, you'd be getting Father DiMartino. At worst, you'd be getting Father DiMartino tainted with the world's way of thinking and not giving you the gospel truth. So you don't want that. So when I say I don't know, it's not just I who don't know. No other Catholic priest should know either. Okay? Now, there's a lot of what we call private revelation. There are saints who've had experiences. Books have been written. Someone at a funeral recently gave me a book about yet another person who's had an after-death experience. Okay? Have any of you ever heard of those kind of things before? Have you ever read a book like that before? Okay. At best, and very rarely, those are private revelations given and expounded to us by canonized saints. So the fact that they're canonized saints, remember, that gives them a credibility. When they're canonized, the church is saying, listen to them. Read what they wrote. There's credibility to it. But a book that you might buy in Barnes & Noble by someone who's had a life and death experience and saw a great light and all that stuff, I need you, want you, and encourage you to throw those books out the door. That's what I meant in my prayer. Help us delete One of the biggest difficulties that lukewarm Catholics, and you're not any Catholics yet, so we're not investing in you so that you can become lukewarm. To be lukewarm is to be diluted, right? You get something hot, then you put something cold in there and it becomes lukewarm. So we're giving you solid, orthodox, Catholic truth. As I've told you at the beginning, no more and no less. The minute you begin, because we actually want to know and we're curious, the minute you begin to admit into your brain, into your life, other purported experiences, you dilute the Catholic faith. And it may not seem important to you yet, but the more diluted you become, the more deluded you become, the more illusion you are prone to, and just as you're coming into the church, you're already taking steps to lose the faith. You need to learn to discern and throw things out of your life that leads you away from Jesus Christ and authentic Catholic teaching. Okay? Got that? I didn't intend to say that, but it's very, very important. Maybe it was just because I got handed a book on this topic by somebody else. And these are things where people really want to speculate. And being a free country, everyone speculates about everything. And there's a popular notion about what happens. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you, along with revealed truth, some explanation of how this possibly could occur. Okay? So it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment. I suppose some of you, perhaps many of you, have witnessed the death of another human being. That moment. Okay? By the time, this is what I'm thinking, it is appointed for men to die once and then the judgment. There's nothing in between. So I speculate that the judgment is immediate. Remember, once you die, you've left the world of time, along with the rest of the world. Okay? But then comes the judgment, the particular judgment. Death puts an end to human life. It's the Catechism, section 1021. 1021. Death puts an end to human life as the time open to either accepting or rejecting the divine grace manifested in Christ. Okay. So, within the moments after death, it's quite possible that literally in the twinkling of an eye, you are already face to face with Jesus Christ. In the time it takes you to close your eyelids and die, you are already face to face with Jesus Christ. Okay? So in the times past when I've preached on this, I tell people now, remember, you're going to be thinking, Father DiMartino said it would happen just like this. Okay? What is certain is that at some point, and I won't say in time, because time will be over, at some point you're going to be face to face with Jesus Christ for the particular judgment. Now, how long that takes, what it will look like, I can't even speculate. But remember, you'll be face to face with an absolutely all-knowing and all-merciful God, who's profoundly on your side, okay? And whose preeminent attribute is mercy. The face of Jesus, is what you will see. And I don't think at all that it will be like, you know, opening the file and going through your reports. What is death exactly? It is the end of earthly life. We are not eternal beings because we have not always existed. But do you know? You will never cease to exist from here on. There's no wiping you out. Remember when I talked about the saints? We talked about having an eternal perspective. You will never be blotted out. Your soul will live for eternity. Okay? You will never stop existing. The person who you are now will never cease to exist. Never, ever. It's hard to measure eternity. Okay? Now, death, strictly speaking, is the separation of the soul from the body. We've all seen people asleep and breathing, but I've seen people functionally dead and breathing with the help of machinery next to them. Okay? But at some point in time, the soul slips away from the body and goes immediately to the particular judgment. Okay? Everything about Catholic life, everything about Catholic life, all the teachings, all the doctrines, all the prayers, all the sacraments, is all geared toward our eternal good. And our eternal good consists in loving, joyful union with God and participation in God for all eternity. World without end. Amen. Can you understand that some things that don't make sense here and some things that don't work out here can be for your greater good in eternity? I cannot stress enough how much an eternal perspective will change your way of life now. You've heard me tell you before about my journey to the priesthood, the 9 years in 10 months that it took me to do after I said yes, let alone the 15, 20 years before that I struggled with even saying yes. That period of time was one of the easiest times in my life because I knew exactly where God wanted me to go. And I wasn't in any sense lost. I found Jesus, I had him, I had the church, I had the sacraments, and now I understood my vocation. And everything was geared toward that final end. Not the ultimate final end, okay? When I walked down the aisle for my ordination, that was all those years in the making. But once I knew that I was headed toward that, things fell into place as either being helpful to that or hindering that. And I'm only using that as an example of once you really see your life from an eternal perspective, and all that matters is that you attain union with Jesus for eternity, everything should begin gradually to change. Now, this won't happen overnight because you're still thinking in an earthly way. You have to really pray and aspire to acquire a godly way of thinking. This is why I prayed that you let go, tune out, turn off, throw away the thoughts and things of this world. Because you can't be double-minded when it comes to these things. Remember the principle. The more you're double, triple-minded, the weaker your faith will necessarily be. Okay, when you make your punch, Joan, the more water you put in it, the weaker it will be. It'll just get weaker and weaker and weaker. Okay? You want an intense, authentic Catholic understanding of the meaning of life. Get that, put it on the wall, and let all the pieces of your individual life fall into place. I know people much younger than myself who are doing that, have done that, and are bearing enormous fruit. And they couldn't have even predicted this would happen to them. But the Catholic life profoundly works. But what have you heard me say? Catholic light, like Bud Light. You all know how I feel about decaffeinated coffee, right? Why bother? Okay? I don't know about you, but I don't drink coffee because I'm so extremely in love with the flavor. I put everything I can find in it. It's the zippity-doo-dah that I want in the morning. Okay? Take away the zippity-doo-dah, and I'd rather drink something else. Okay? So, you know, either live an authentic Catholic life and go full throttle, or stumble, you know. Catholic light, by its nature, should not work. It's a warning to you. If you live a lighthearted Catholicism, you will stumble and fall, and you'll feel like you're losing your faith, and your life won't go well, and you'll wonder what's wrong, and you'll never think the problem is you. And then the ultimate insult is you'll think the problem is God, and the problem is the church and its teaching. It never will occur to you that you might be the problem. Okay? So have an eternal perspective and thank God for Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. I may preach on this on Easter Sunday. I don't want to give you a hint yet, but that's something in mind. Okay? Now, I'm standing before you. Either this is totally wrong, okay? And I totally misled. All the popes have been misled. St. John of the Cross, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Joan of Arc, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Martin of Porter, okay? All the saints. We've been here for years, going down and living here, all the same. They're all wrong. Pope John Paul II was wrong. Teresa of Calcutta was wrong. Okay? You realize you're moving in their company, right? So either we're all wrong, or this is right. Now, you have to decide, because you only get one short life to live. And you've got to, like, make a choice. Maybe it's Buddhism. Maybe it's Hinduism. Maybe it's Mormonism. Maybe it's whatever that was. Okay? But you got to make a choice. And to make no choice is to make a choice.
I'm going to wait and see.
Okay? And, you know, we used to say growing up in New York, it's a free country. Make your free choice. As for me in my house, I know where I'm going, okay? And I'm following the instructions. I once had a paper I had to do in seminary, and I didn't get it. I didn't get the assignment as it was being read out. But fortunately, the professor gave a list, a sheet. You know, the kind of thing like a job application. This paper will include, this paper will study, this paper will reveal, and there was the bullet points, so all the things that the successful paper was going to have.
And I still didn't get it. I know you find that hard to believe. But I wouldn't get it. But I didn't get it. But I followed the bullets. And I got an A. Okay? Just follow the bullets. We are a teaching church. Yes, I know we have the answers for everything. That drives everybody crazy. But why wouldn't we? Jesus Christ is the ultimate answer to every question. Okay. All right, so the judgment. We don't know how long it takes, what's going to come up in the discussion, I suspect there'd be very little discussion. But in the gaze, there's a knowing. Now, what happens immediately, the soul goes to three places. Well, a choice of three places. God's choice, not ours. We don't go three places simultaneously. The soul will either be found completely ready for the vision of God, the enjoyment of God. That soul has done all within its power, with its human weakness, with its sinfulness, with its broken humanity, to cooperate with the grace won for us in Christ Jesus and brought forth for us through his church. We've observed his commandments. Yes, we failed, but we always tried hard to do it. We use the sacraments well and frequently, like Father DiMartino said, frequently and well. Okay? We adored him face to face in the Blessed Sacrament. We tried to love him. We gave him our best. And you just might find yourself looking at that moment of judgment to Jesus Christ, who immediately admits you into heaven, where you will have incredible, interminable, eternal joy, peace, happiness, every good, beyond any good you could ever imagine. World without end, happiness without end, no pain, no tear, no disappointment, no death. Such utter joy that no one can describe it. Okay? And even then, you won't be worthy of it. What it is, it's cooperating with God's grace. And let me tell you how God works. He knows. He's a just God. And his justice contains mercy. So he knows that your circumstances are different than mine. He knows that mine are different than yours. He knows exactly what handicaps we had, what graces we had, what difficulties we had, what triumphs we had, what failures we had. And he has a way of taking all of that and sifting through it with perfect deliberation and justice. That's why he said, do not judge. We're taking someone else's job when we judge. It's his job to judge. Okay? And his justice is perfect. He sees the heart. He's heard our tears. He's seen us try and fail. He's seen us fail and succeed. He's seen it all. And with a perfect mixture of justice and mercy, you just may find yourself immediately admitted into glory. And I'll bet that's the face that in some ways is the most incomprehensible. Me? Glory? Now? Yes. Hint, he tells us what part of the judgment will be on. He says this: whatever you did to the least of my brethren, you did to me. So whenever you're nice to me, whenever you're good to me, whenever you help me, whenever you love me, and I'm not trying to make it all about me, but I'm using me as an example since I am standing here with an archetype, you do to him. We are members of one another. We went through that. We talked about the communion of saints and church. Okay, we're members of the body of Christ. And the more you absorb yourself in Catholic living, you can understand what God expects of you. He will not be a mystery to you. But again, if you live a deluded life, and it's so easy to do. I was watching, I think, Fox News the other night, and somebody passed away. And I don't remember who it was, honestly, but it worked me up to be on Fox News. And apparently the person was Catholic, because the person on Fox News said, there'll be a funeral mass on such and such day to remember the life of. To remember the life of. Dear friends, we don't have funeral masses to remember the lives of anybody. And I got to tell you, most people expect that's what it's about. Okay? They didn't have to give you a biography of the person. It's all about speaking about your life and your accomplishments. Friends, that's not what it's about. You offer the funeral mass to pray for the dead who did not make it to heaven on the first go. Right? Now, I said there were three possible things that could happen. The second possibility is purgatory. Is purgatory a place? Where is it? Is it north, south, east, or west? Okay? We don't know that. Now, saints have written about visions of purgatory experience. Saints, canonized saints, have written about these things. You may read those things, and you may speculate, and they may edify you. But we don't know exactly what it looks like, what it feels like, what it smells like in there. And we never know who's in there. What we do know is that the souls that are there have met Jesus Christ face to face. Now remember I told you what the first person looks like who goes right to heaven. They're almost in shock. Even me, right now, with you? Because they're humble. They weren't expecting such glory to be thrown on them. They love their own great humility, and they don't know how to handle so much praise. And it is kind of a praise from God in the picture of heaven. Now, the soul goes to purgatory, it looks at God, it faces Jesus Christ, and in the one look at me, you know. Under the category of Father B. Martino said, it would be like this, which is prior to Revelation. I'm not even canonized. I'm not even dead. Okay? But in the category of Father, okay? I really don't think that anybody who goes to Jesus gets surprised. What? Me? Hell? You've got to be kidding. Me? Purgatory? You've got to be kidding. If anything, once again, it's to me, heaven, you've got to be kidding. It's going to get in. But you're going to look and you're going to know. I remember a friend of mine in the seminary had a spiritual director, as we all had to have in the seminary. And he used to say that whenever you used to go to this director, you'd walk in there for direction, and the preacher would look at him with one look. Get out of here. Go pray to the Lord as a sacrament. He could just tell, look at it. Right? Now, but in that look is the knowing. We talked again about, we're so used to talking and hearing, there's a knowing. Now, the soul goes to purgatory, goes happily. Maybe with some regret, some remorse. Didn't have to be this way. Didn't have to be this way. Now, more than most of you, I won't say all of you, but more than most of you, I know all the professions, I am often with people in the hour of their death. Very, 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 very often. That's not why I accepted my call, the vocation, but it's one of it goes with the turf, right? Oh, if we could only learn now what they know then. Again, they all want to go back and do it over. And in the age of rewind, we think we can. I read a story the other day in the Washington Post about suicide rate among young girls in, I think, Afghanistan or Iraq and Iran. And the psychiatrist working with them, they think there's a press button that starts all over again. They're a little down, okay, and it said that in this one case, the two girls were best friends in high school, they jumped off a roof together, but they planned their funeral, what gowns they wanted to have, and, but the psychologist said clearly they didn't really understand what death was going to be. They just kept talking about how beautiful the funeral was going to be and how pretty they were going to be in their caskets. But there was some underlying sense of, then we start up again and we play it all over again, it's better. No. Okay? So if we really understood the meaning of life, where it all ends, where it's going for, we'd have a new perspective. But people want to go back and rewind it, and then they know, I should have done this. should have done this. I'm here to tell you, there's no reason on earth why all of you can't go home tonight. Oh, if only you would. If only, only you would. And start making the changes now that will prepare you for eternity. And you would have no regrets. You would have no regrets. What a waste. Everything you have, everything you stress over, everything you cling to, you have to leave behind. There's only one thing necessary. Our Lord said there's only one thing necessary. How much can you take with you? You can't even take your body with you. Just the soul goes to God. Okay? Now again, if you want to believe this, hey, it's a big country. There's the doors. You can go. But what if I'm right? Now, the soul is going to purgatory. We do know this. Purgatory is a place of joy and suffering. We know what it's like to have joy and suffering at the same time. We've had those experiences. The three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity are necessary in this life. Remember when we talked about the church existing in three stages? The church militant, the church expectant, and the church triumphant? Let me see how much you've learned. I haven't explicitly told you this, but connect dots, if you will. The three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. The soul going to purgatory leaves one of those behind. There's one virtue they don't need and nobody has in purgatory. What is it?
Hope.
How many of you think it's faith? Right? How many of you think it's hope? How many of you think it's charity that they leave behind? Okay. It's the virtue of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What have they just seen? Jesus Christ. They've seen him. They've met him. They've been judged by him. Everything makes sense. They don't have to have faith anymore. They know. Martino City, just like this. Okay? And now they need hope, and they have it. And charity. When they leave purgatory, what virtue do they leave behind? Hope. Right? They have nothing to hope for anymore. They have it all now. Love lasts forever, St. Paul said. Charity is the perfection. Now we need faith, hope, and charity. In heaven we need charity alone. Now, have you noticed in the last year when I write, and maybe you notice, I write all the prayers that we say, the prayers of the general intercessions on Sunday. Have you noticed gradually there's been a shifting away from praying for those who have died to the holy souls of purgatory, the suffering souls of purgatory, the souls of purgatory? Well, you know, I desire to teach you that. But in reality, your prayers for the souls in heaven don't do them any good. When you're in heaven, nothing can help you. You don't need any help. Your joy is absolutely complete and nothing can be added to it. Remember when we talked about the saints? We said even canonization? They don't get all excited. Have you heard? They canonize me out there. It doesn't add anything to them. Right? It's for our sake. So your prayers can't help anybody in hell. Hell is such a final devastation. Such a final eternal devastation. That nothing, absolutely nothing, can redeem the soul from death to hell. What can redeem the soul from death to hell?
Nothing.
Nothing. We don't pray for souls in hell. We can't help souls in hell. It's over for them. So therefore, when we pray for the dead, what only category needs our prayers? The souls in purgatory. Now, what we do know is that the souls in purgatory can pray for us here on earth. We don't know what they know. Now, I don't want to hear, you know, when like I heard when my mom died from my ordination. Oh, she's watching you from up there. See, now that's the world stuff. How many of you think that consoled me on my ordination day when I was the only one that had a mom? It didn't console me. It made things worse. It's not supposed to go, yeah, I know. I let them speak their butts. Don't talk to me like that. Okay?
don't know what the souls in purgatory can do, except we know they cannot help themselves. They cannot help themselves, but they can pray to God and to the saints in heaven, and they can pray for us whom they have known on earth. But they're in the dark to some extent, yet they see more light than we have. They've seen Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the light of the world. Okay? They need our prayers. They need our prayers. That is why, and that is only why, we have a funeral mass. But the world will never let go, promise you, the world will never let go of some kind of ritual surrounding death. Whether it's the three crosses on the side of the road, human nature wants to do something about death and wants to have some kind of hope. And for some people, some kind of false hope is better than Catholic hope. And so, but the culture right now simply believes that everyone goes to a better place, okay? And that whatever services we have afterwards is just to celebrate your life. So we have to have, I've been to funeral homes as a Catholic priest, where I go there, and one person was at the comedy, and all, and there were posters of the Three Stooges, and Three Stooges were there, Bo Larry and Curly. And boxes from all the good comedies, videos that he enjoyed in life. All the ribbons from running horses. Or their golf clubs. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you visit your uncle's house, you know, and his widow is there, and she says, you know, this, your uncle always wanted you to have this when he played golf. This is a golf club. I'm not saying that's not worthless. But when you see these things at a funeral home, okay? You leave all that behind. It's worthless. You know, St. Peter at the pearly gates. I mean, that's all made up, right? But let's go there for a second. Do you think St. Peter at the pearly gates is going, holiness, Jesus, God, Michael Jackson is here. If you want to see my way, Elvis is here. Whoever. Okay? Our Lord takes who we are and what we did into consideration. But, you know, he's not impressed with the office we acquired. And the president is here. The premier is here. The prime minister is here. The queen is here. Long live the, you know what? Queen. And none of that matters. At the judgment, all that matters is, did you know God, love God, and do his will? Did you hear that? Did you know God, love God, and do his will? I have a beautiful book, write this down. The Context of Holiness. By a Carmelite priest, I met him once, very good, I don't know him, but I've met him. Named Mark, M-A-R-C, Foley, F-O-L-E-Y. It's called The Context of Holiness. It's a skinny little book. He's a psychiatrist and a Carmelite priest, but he examines the whole life of St. Therese, of Lisieux, my favorite saint. But at the very end, he talks about this. All that matters, in the last two or three pages, all that matters. Not our bank account, not our jobs, not our friends, not what we acquired, nothing matters. Nothing matters except that we know God, love God, and do his will. And you don't believe it. And you're going to go home and you're going to still sweat over things that don't matter. And you can change your life forever. Start the day. So the souls of purgatory, they have a joy, they have a hope. What are they absolutely certain about? They've already seen God. What are they already certain about? They're going to be with God for eternity, right? It's just a matter of, I don't want to say time, because time doesn't exist anymore. But they know. So the fear is gone, the dread is gone, and they know that they need to be where they are. They know they're not ready, okay? Right? If an altar boy comes running in from playing football, and he hasn't showered, he hasn't changed, and he comes in, I think we're looking at him, he goes, he leaves, I know I'm not ready to start tonight, I'm a mess. Don't even tell me, Father, I know, okay? The souls of purgatory know.
But the ultimate point knows he needs to clean up and come back the next day. Okay?
He's not out without hope. Now, the dance.
That's why you're not supposed to say the word dance. It's the horror of horrors. The horror of horrors.
There is absolutely no hope. Nothing. Oh my gosh. Just use your imagination.
Now we speak of the fires in hell. We speak of the fires in purgatory. We don't know.
What we do know is that there is intense suffering without end. Ever ending.
Now, when our Lord Jesus comes at the end of time, he judges the living and the dead, and all the souls are reunited with their bodies. Purgatory comes to an end. You know, it'd be just your luck that you get there when it closes time. Okay? That's time. Ready for all to say, but up. We're closing down. Everything must go. Okay. Alright? And for all eternity, there will not be any earth. A new earth, a new heaven, okay? But there'll be no purgatory. There'll only be heaven and hell for all eternity. Okay. Now, I've heard eternity described in ways like this. I'm going to make this up slightly, but imagine that I start walking tonight to Saudi Arabia, where I pick up one piece of sand, and I come back here, I walk back here, and I put it on that table, and I walk back to Saudi Arabia, and I get another one grain of sand, and then I walk back here, and I put it on the table. And then I walk back to Saudi Arabia, and you know where I'm going with this, okay? And after I've taken all the sand in Saudi Arabia, I somehow walk back and forth and put it here, then I take all the sand on the table and go one grain at a time back to Saudi Arabia, put it down again, okay? Then when I'm done with that, I start picking up the sand again. This time I climb Mount Everest, and I put one sand at a time on the very tip-top. Go back down Mount Everest, go walk to Saudi Arabia, get the next grain of sand, okay? And if I pick all the cities and mountains in the world and climb every tree that ever existed, I'm putting it at the beginning of eternity. Whenever I hear someone come up to me and say, my teenager's bored with Mass. How can you be bored with your own life? But it happens. I'll tell you how you're bored with your own life. You have nothing to live for. See, when you don't know Jesus Christ and you haven't surrendered to him, you are living with what we call a carnal, what St. Paul calls a carnal mind. A carnal mind exists for worldly pleasure alone. Now, coming to church on Sunday, living by the Catholic faith, not designed to enhance your worldly pleasure. Agreed, right? Agreed, okay? Paper or plastic? What do you want to choose? Right? So, those are the four last things. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And we had a little bit of time to talk about some aspects of the second coming. Okay. Before I close this, I think just one more time. The sections on this topic in the Catechism, death begins on section 1006, and in the next few sections through 1020 goes to the particular judgment, 1023, heaven, and section 1033 to 1037 is a section on hell. Okay? And the final judgment,
Section 1038 and beyond, okay? But if you are truly wise, and the thing is, anybody can be truly wise, but no true wisdom exists outside of Jesus Christ in any kind of completeness. There are bits and pieces that are reflections of Jesus Christ, but the wholeness resides in Jesus and in His Catholic Church. I need you to get used to the idea. I need you, for your sake, to get used to the idea that you are belonging to or joining the only church that Jesus Christ founded, and that that's not a conceited way of thinking. Our Lord prayed the Last Supper that they only be one. Not that there will be 37,000 different denominations. Anybody is truly welcome. That's a word that comes up a lot these days. Welcome. You know, we all want to come as you are, right? How many of you would go to meet the president at the Oval Office as you look right now? Come on. We'll go on the most important job in you as you look right now. Okay? We want to put our best foot forward. We want to wear your best clothes. We want to get ready. Okay? Everyone's welcome. And welcome to come as you are. But we need to change. Because what we leave at the door is what Scripture calls the old man. The carnal mind. Fleshly thinking. A mind corrupted by original sin and by actual sin. St. John tells us that no one who is friends with the world can be friends with God. You leave that behind and you come into union with Jesus Christ. And not when you are sinless, when you are cleansed, do you come to Holy Communion. Did you hear me? Not when you are sinless, but when you are cleansed, do you come to Holy Communion. The Holy of Holies. We didn't make it up. That's the church that Jesus founded. So, I'm going to end now on that note and take some questions. What are the prayer? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus Christ, where would we be without you? What would we do without you? How lost we would be if you had not come to us and made it possible for us to come to you. Lord, help us with your grace to repent of the old ways of thinking, to put on the new man created in you, Lord, in Christ Jesus, to live for you, to live through you, to live with you in this life, through death, and for all eternity. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. And may the blessing of Almighty God, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you always. Amen.